here's a story from The World.
Ukraine's culture and language have a rich history and a parallel story of suppression. After the First World War, the newly formed Soviet Union annexed the region and tried to stamp out its identity. Under dictator Joseph Stalin, the Ukrainian language itself was banned. But works by Ukrainian dissidents still made their way across borders and to the United States. Many of those books and writings were collected by a Ukrainian immigrant to the U.S., Volodymyr Pilyshenko. His family fled Ukraine during World War II and eventually settled in Rochester, New York. But years later, because Pilyshenko was a university professor, he was allowed to visit Ukraine. His first trip back was in 1972. Here's his daughter, Katya Kolcha, speaking about her father.
He would be given handwritten work, notes scribbled on whatever was available by poets, dissidents, writers, and thinkers in Ukraine. I traveled with him as well. I was still young, but at that time, I remember vividly my parents saying, just don't speak Ukrainian on the streets. Make sure nobody hears you speaking Ukrainian. So there was an active repression and punishment for expressing oneself as having Ukrainian identity.
Pilyshenko kept everything from his trips. He also saved writings and books that people sent to him. Over the years, he amassed an unrivaled collection of Ukrainian writing. Kolcha says her father had more than 15,000 books.
Not only that he brought out of the Soviet Union, but that were published outside the Soviet Union. And he started his search for the materials that would be written, that would be documenting Ukrainian history and experiences and cultural identity that would have been burned or censored or banned in the territory of the Soviet Union.
He saved them from that fate. But in a cruel twist, this collection is now in danger, not due to neglect or from age, but because of the war. This is the story of what happened to Volodymyr Pilyshenko's collection, as told by his daughter. Today, Katya Kolcha is a professor at Wesleyan University in Connecticut. She was interviewed by Gemma Ware at our partners, The Conversation.
So he'd spent the 70s, 80s collecting this material. Was he keeping it in your house? What was he doing with it?
Yeah, he was keeping all of it in our house. And he was building this collection of books slowly. And it wasn't just his own work. The Ukrainian diaspora community in the United States and around the world was very self-consciously preserving books and opening schools, teaching a history that they knew wasn't being maintained in Ukraine in the hope that someday it would be. So in the Ukrainian Credit Union of Rochester, in the basement was a library, a community library where many of these books were housed. And when somebody would die, an elder in a family, the family would know to bring whatever books they have to my father. And it became part of this archive that he hoped someday would return to Ukraine. And of course, this was before Ukrainian independence, and nobody knew whether that would ever come.
And then it did come in 1991. So what happened then to this material?
We didn't quite exactly know what would happen with my father's archive until 2017. The mayor of the city of Dnipro is a city on the eastern side of Ukraine, fairly close to the Donbas zone of conflict. The mayor, Boris Albertovich Filatov, made it his mission to revive a sense of what had been forgotten about Ukraine. And he was in Rochester. They snuck off and visited my father's house. And that's when the mayor saw the collection, stacks and stacks of books, it turns out numbering over 15,000. And the mayor at that moment said, we will build you a library. And sure enough, in 2018, Mayor Filatov invited my father. I accompanied him with my son to Dnipro to find a location. And the location that was chosen is right in the city center in the central library. And they built a wing to house these materials specifically.
And so when did the last package of books get sent?
What happened in 2021, at the beginning of the year in February, as my father contracted COVID and he died. The library hadn't been completed, so I went to work. I went to Rochester and resumed the work, and we made a plan for the group of scholars from Dnipro to come and help catalog the remaining books. September of 2021, and the books went into a container ship and sat on a ship for months. And we waited and we waited. And February 8th of 2022, I got a note in my Facebook with photographs announcing that the books had finally arrived. The container had finally made it to Dnipro, and they showed pictures of all those hundreds of books, which included my father's handwritten diaries from over 50 years.
So I guess at this point, February the 8th, the world has changed so much since then. You had no idea what would happen. Do you know what the situation is right now?
So the timing is just so extraordinary. We had no idea that Russia would launch this full-scale invasion. I know that the books are still in boxes and they're currently in a basement in the central city library, as far as I'm aware. I know that's in the central part of the city of Dnipro. Dnipro is not far from Zaporizhia. You might have heard in the news, Russia took control of the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, and Dnipro is not far away. So we're extremely concerned. And of course, we worry more than anything about the people of Dnipro. They've been heroes throughout this 8-year war. They've really been on the front line of defending Ukraine as a whole. And we can only hope for the best.
And this idea of language and the Ukrainian language, is there a real fear that because they're written in Ukrainian and they tell that history, that they might be kind of a particular target to anyone who finds them?
That's absolutely for certain. In the essay that Putin published over the summer, in the speech he gave just a couple of weeks ago, Putin has made it clear that he thinks Ukrainians don't exist, that they're really Russians, that they're a subset of Russians, that there is no independent or unique Ukrainian identity. Putin is afraid of the expression of the civic vitality that is embodied in the Ukrainian people and that is embodied in this archive. Should they find it, it would be the first thing that they would destroy. And despite attempting to do exactly that over hundreds of years, they've not succeeded. So there's that glimmer of optimism that I have. But in the short term, that's what we're facing.
That was Katya Kolcha speaking about the archive of Ukrainian dissident writings that her father curated over many decades. She told her story to Gemma Ware of the podcast The Conversation. The latest update from Kolcha is that the library is still intact, but the city of Dnipro remains in danger.